Shall we now turn to the book of Kings, first book of Kings, chapter 19. First book of Kings, chapter 19, which you'll find, if you're using the church Bible, you'll find it on page 404. And we shall read verse 11. This is the Lord speaking to Elijah. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Well, we carry on with our lessons from the kings of Israel. We are on lesson 33. And the title I've given this evening is "The Voice of the Lord." The Voice of the Lord. Now, in the book of Judges, four times it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." So where there is no king, people do which is right in their own eyes. It can also be said, where there is king and no prophet, the kings do that which is right in his own eyes. So we see that in Israel, when there is a king, there is also a prophet. We thank God for such a provision for the kings. Any law made against the man of God to speak on behalf of God, warning the king or the government, making known the mind of God to the king, is against the will of God. After Samuel, Prophet Elijah played a great role in delivering the oracles of God to the kings and to the people of Israel. And in order to deliver the words of God to the kings and to the people of God, the prophet had to hear the word of God clearly. But fear can totally numb a person's senses, and it can make a person deaf from hearing God's word. The prophet Elijah had such a moment where he could not hear God's word. He simply wanted to save his life. From the time Elijah totally exposed the evil deeds and the evil belief of Ahab and Jezebel, Jezebel took a vow to destroy Elijah. And Elijah was now afraid of death. He was on the run. And while he was in the wilderness, in the desert, he prayed that the Lord should take away his life. He did not want to live anymore. And while on the run, God provided for him food and water. But still, it did not dawn in his mind that God is with me. Why am I running? But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. That was all that was on his mind. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." He compared himself to the fathers of faith, and he felt that he was not worthy. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baken on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. An angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. How wonderful the Lord is, that even when we are on the run away from him, he provides our needs. And so Elijah came unto a cave and he lodged there. And then the Lord asked Elijah, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. We can see that Elijah's heart was filled with zeal for God's righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples, saying, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Elijah the prophet was such a man. He hungered and thirsted for the Lord's righteousness. What did they do to him? They persecuted him. And they persecuted the rest of the prophets. The religion of the world is the religion that pleases men. The true and righteous God is no God in such a religion. You will remember the Church of England ejected several thousand men in 1662 that served the church in spirit and in truth. And these men began to preach the word of God. They thirsted after righteousness, and for this they were persecuted. They were taken out, thrown out, ejected. And some of these men were Richard Baxter, Simeon Ash, John Flavel, Thomas Watson, and so many others. And we must not forget the Church of Rome that put thousands of such righteous men in prison, burned them alive at stake, and invented machines of torture in order to silence the voice of God. Let me tell you, nothing has changed in these apostate churches. Give them the power back, dear friends. Give them the power back again, and they will do just the same what they did in the past. Today it is happening in the new evangelical churches, the ultra new evangelical churches. These false prophets of Baal have entered unnoticed in the Church of Christ and are leading many souls to perdition. These ultra new evangelical churches are stressing purpose over preference. If your purpose is to bring people in the church and increase your numbers, then this purpose, they say, is what is important, not the preference. Purpose over preference, according to them, means that Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone, word of God alone, and glory to God alone must go away. The purpose becomes the ultimate goal. The end purpose justifies the means. If Christ must be thrown out, if faith in the sacrifice of Christ must be thrown out, if the word of God must be thrown out, and if the glory of God must be thrown out, they say, do so. Do so. for the sake of your purpose to be fulfilled, in order to fill up your church, you must do away with that which will stop people from coming into your church building. Now, all these centuries, it has been believed by Christians and the saints as far as Abel that the end purpose of every human being is to glorify God. The whole purpose of the children of God is to obey God and submit your will, your mind, your heart, your strength, your soul to God. But these ultra-new evangelical churches believe that their ultimate purpose is to glorify their own self. You have a purpose, then you must fulfill that purpose. So if your personal purpose is your fulfillment, and that purpose is to gather disciples around you, then Christ, faith, grace, the word of God, and the glory of God must go away. And we can see this parallel in the Old Testament. The false prophets of Baal glorified Ahab and Jezebel. Everything they spoke and prophesied was to exalt their king and their queen. The king had a purpose. The prophets of Baal helped the king to fulfill that purpose. It did not matter to them whether the purpose was according to God's will or not. God was not the preference. In fact, the vision that these kings and queens had was contrary to the vision and the purpose that God had for Israel. Ahab and Jezebel were following the vision of Baal. And so the vision they had came to them from a very different source. It came from the worship of Baal. The purpose that Christ has for us comes from His Father in heaven. Every pastor and evangelist must follow Christ's purpose for His church. Christ has given us His vision and His purpose. Anyone trying to have their own vision and own purpose are putting themselves higher than Christ and in fact competing with Christ. And the purpose that Christ has for us is to be His servants. That is what Elijah was doing, serving the Lord according to the Lord's purpose. Elijah did not develop his own purpose for himself and ask God to bless that purpose. If any is called to be the child of God, it is to do the will of the Father in heaven. You will notice that when we work to fulfill the purpose that is designed by God, His people, His servants, will be persecuted. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." The prophets, dear friends, stood firm to do the work that they were called to do. God made known His vision and purpose to His people, and the prophets simply and honestly made known the purpose of God to His people. The prophets did not make their own purpose and vision to the people. Neither did the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ make known their own vision, had their own purpose for the people. No, they were the spokesmen for God and God alone. Elijah was terribly afraid of his life. And now God comes to comfort Elijah. Fear is a terrible thing, dear friends. And this fear comes from what you see outside. Jezebel had power. She had a whole nation in her hand. She had the army and the religious institutions in her hands. And she was going to use everything, everything she had to put Elijah to death. Now remember, Elijah has come back to Horeb, the Mount of God. He is living in the cave. And the Lord at this point asks Elijah to come out and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Verse 11 of chapter 19, 1 Kings, tells us, "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake." Verse 12 of chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Elijah is terribly afraid. He's running to save his life. In this time of great fear, anxiety and distress, why would the Lord give him the experience of a storm that broke the rocks in pieces, and then an earthquake, and then a fire? Now all these events and experiences can really drive away your breath completely. Imagine how terribly frightened Elijah was when the Lord showed him the power of the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. It would only put him in tremendous distress. And after each event, the Bible tells us that the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire. The wind and its destruction, the earthquake and its destruction, the fire and its destruction cannot bring comfort, can it? But only distress, pain, and sorrow. But after all this, there was a still small voice. What did Elijah do when he heard the still small voice? We are told in verse 13 that he wrapped his face in his mantle, in his cloak, and he went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. Elijah wrapped his face in his mantle. He did not want to see anything with his eyes, nor want to hear anything with his ears. But the still, small voice, the voice of God. The still, small voice of the Lord led him out of the cave. The voice of the Lord led Elijah out of the cave. He wanted to see nothing around him, hear nothing around him, but only be attentive to the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord surely gave him peace, gave him comfort and courage, and made him walk out of the cave. The voice of the Lord cast away his fear. And depending on that still small voice, for the Lord was in that voice, Elijah moved out. Dear friends, brethren, in all the deadly things that happens around us, in all the frightening, despairing, and destructive situation that we are in, we need to hear the still, small voice of the Lord. We got to hear him. Damaging and discouraging situation will try to gain all our attention, our eyes, our ears, and the faculty of our reasoning. Our strength will be consumed by it. It will shatter our peace from within. It will break us up. And in such situation, we must, like Elijah, close our eyes, close our ears, and listen. Listen to that small, still voice of the Lord. that still small voice of the Lord will be found in His Word, the Bible. The psalmist says in Psalm 46 verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord wants us to be still. The Lord wants us to focus our mind on Him, no matter what the situation may be. To be still and focus our mind on the Word of God is the best solution in times of upheaval. It is best to hear the voice of the Lord rather than be filled with fear and perish. After Elijah had heard the still small voice, the narrative goes on to say, "And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." We will notice that after Elijah ran away for his life and came to Mount Horeb, the Lord asked him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" In other words, why are you here? What are you doing here? And Elijah tells the Lord, even in verse 9 or 10, we read, he says the same thing. "I have been jealous, very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." And he believed that there was no one else, no one else, that everyone, all the people, had forsaken the covenant of the Lord. And that the Lord says to Elijah, "Go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria." Verse 16, "And Jehu the son of Nimshi you will anoint to be the king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat shall thou anoint to be prophet in your place." Why? Why, we may ask, did the Lord show Elijah the power of the wind, the power of the earthquake and the fire? Was Elijah expecting fire and brimstone to fall upon Ahab and Jezebel and the stiff-necked people of Israel? Perhaps so. You remember how when Elijah challenged the Baals of Ahab and Jezebel, how for the sacrifice, when he told them, "Okay, cry out to your God and see if he can send fire and burn this sacrifice." And they could not. But when he prayed, the Lord God of heaven and earth, he sent a fire and burned the sacrifice. But Elijah did not find God in the fire now, nor in the earthquake, nor in the wind. God does not deal with the wicked people the way we want, dear friends. We may want the earth to open up and swallow the wicked people, but God has other ways. His purpose and plans are different from ours. We must therefore listen to His voice. We cannot direct God according to our plans and our purpose. We must hear His voice through His word. Elijah was afraid of Ahab and Jezebel. Elijah was afraid for his life. But God was not finished. God had not finished Elijah. He was not finished with Elijah. And therefore he told Elijah, "Go. Go anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, Jehu, king of Israel, and Elisha to be the prophet." The Lord brings His judgment according to His own wisdom. Look at verse 17. And it shall come to pass, the Lord said, that him that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Look at the strategy that the Lord employs. God is even using a foreign nation to punish Israel and the evil couple for their sins. Elijah believed that his end had come. He believed that Ahab and Jezebel would reign supreme. No one can have the final say. No one can have the final say. God alone does. He works out his purpose all the time. God does not slumber nor sleep. Jesus informed his disciples that his heavenly Father works, and so also I work. The Lord is working all the time. His eyes are on you and are on me and upon all the earth. The Lord works with the nations. The Lord works with his church, individually with his children, with the leaders of the nation, and with everything that he has created. He uses everything whatsoever according to his own master plan. Elijah did not know, but the Lord had preserved 7,000 souls that have not bowed their knees to Baal in Israel. Elijah complained, and he believed that he alone is very zealous for the Lord God, and that all the children of Israel have forsaken God's covenant. And he told the Lord, "And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." He mentioned this twice to the Lord. This means he must have said to himself many a times, as he was running away for his life into the wilderness, as he was running away from Ahab and Jezebel, he must have said, "I am the only one, so why should I go? I am all alone. I am terrified. I am the only one. I must save myself. I am the only one. Let God destroy them like Sodom and Gomorrah." Is that what you believe of yourself, dear friend? Is that what you tell the Lord? Is that what you tell yourself? That I am the only one? The whole world has forgotten God? Well, if so, you don't know. For you are not God. And you have not met all the people. And you don't know the hearts of all men and women. Listen to what the Lord said to Elijah. Verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed him. The wondrous grace of God. Yes, majority of them must have forsaken the true God, the Lord God Almighty, forgotten him. But by God's grace, he had preserved 7,000 in Israel. And even now, dear friends, there are many thousands of saints faithful to the Lord, committed to the Lord, willing to die for the Lord. If any of us want to compare ourselves more worthy than others, let us compare ourselves with Jesus Christ. For Jesus is the only measure, the only yardstick of our holiness, the yardstick of our zeal, the yardstick of our righteous living. It is not our neighbor. No, our yardstick of living for God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone. Let us compare our faith with the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only then we will know where we stand in our holiness, in our zeal, in our knowledge and wisdom, and in our righteousness. And now, as Elijah goes back, the first person he meets is Elisha. Elisha. He was plowing his field with oxen. You see that in verse 19. He was plowing his field with oxen. And Elijah passed by him, and he cast his mantle, his cloak, his garment upon him. That meant he's called to follow him and minister to him. And immediately Elisha left the oxen and ran after Elijah and told him, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." He understood what Elijah had done to him. And so he told Elijah, "Let me go to my father and to my mother and say goodbye to him, to them." And so Elisha went. He broke the yoke of the oxen. He slew the oxen. He boiled their flesh by cooking it with the yoke and gave it unto the people, and they ate it. And then he arose and went after Elijah, and he ministered unto him. He became his servant. He became his student, so that Elijah would teach him the way of the Lord. And as God said, to anoint him, the prophet. And then Elisha would take the work of being the mouthpiece of God. Elisha was called and chosen by God to serve him. And when he knew it, Elisha put aside his tools, in fact burnt it, gave it to the people of his village, and went to minister to Elijah and serve the Lord. Well, you'll remember, as we read in Mark chapter 1, what Jesus did as he began his ministry. Jesus went about calling his disciples, and he called John and James. They were brothers. Peter and Andrew, they were brothers, and they were fishermen. But when Jesus called them, when Jesus said, "Come and follow me, I will make you fishers of men," they left their nets and followed Jesus. They left their net, we are told, immediately, and followed Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector. When Jesus asked him to follow him, he left his post and followed Jesus. Is the Lord calling you, dear friends, to serve him? Is the Lord calling you? You're very busy. You're afraid of your life. Fear is constantly raging and nagging you. You're faced with events that rocks your life like earthquake, like storm that breaks the rocks, and like fire that consumes a city. And you are consumed with it. You see it when you are awake, and you see it when you are asleep. You try to hear the voice of God in this situation, but it is not there, because you totally miss out on the still, small voice. Dear friends, what is it that gives you the greatest joy? What is it that fulfills your heart and makes you content? Is it the voice of the Lord in His words? Are you set on fire by His words, by His voice? Are you encouraged and comforted by His word? Do you feel an inclination, an encouragement to serve Him, to love Him and give your life to Him? Then you must respond. Is the Lord perhaps asking you, "Go the way you came. Go the way to the point I first met you. Remember what you heard. Now go and burn the old bridges and take the bridge that I have asked you to take, that I have prepared before you. Come and minister to me." Be my servant. Be my servant. Sit before my feet. I will teach you. I will lead you. I will give you words that you may speak, and you will be fulfilled. If that's what you have heard in your life, if that's what you are hearing now, then, dear friends, like Elisha, take your old bridges and burn them down. Take the one that God has called you to walk to. Shall we pray?